Hi, everybody. This is Andy Alford, the host of All Andy Alford. I want to let you know that our shows now are on Facebook Live, as well as right here on the All Andy Alford Podcast Network. So our shows are unedited, uncensored, and so full of content. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Follow us on our Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/AllAndyAlford. The views of All Andy Alford are those of Andy's and do not represent the Spotify Podcast Network.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Alford.
And a shot and a goal.
54 runs in the span. I'm going to shut out. Dumbino.
A hit to a home run.
Go!
Jeff. That's way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo-choo, it's time for All Andy Alford.
Oh. It's an embarrassment. An absolute embarrassment of what this franchise has done. An absolute embarrassment of what this franchise has become. From the fact that we have put so much trust into this organization. It was just an embarrassing weekend for yours truly. The Lions fail in their home cooking and lose to the Seahawks. The Reds are playing themselves out of the wild card. BG losing the game, but covering the points. While Ohio State and Notre Dame get jobs done. But it all gets cast aside of what happened Sunday, what happened Friday, Saturday, and then the eventual what happened on Sunday with our Columbus Blue Jackets. It's an effing embarrassment. And tonight's show is not an embarrassment right here on All Andy Alford. And welcome in to a special edition, another edition right here of All Andy Alford right here on your home for me, and that's on Facebook Live as well as with all the different platforms on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into the show tonight to hear what's happening in the sports world as well as what's happening in my everyday life. As you could always be a part of the program by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford. It is at All Andy Alford. It right here on Facebook Live, as every show is done on Facebook Live now. As we do podcasts now, it's going to be once a week, as well as it could be twice a week. You never know. You never know. But this show, welcome into the program tonight on this, the 21st day of September, 2023. A lot to get into tonight, of course. We're going to break down last week in college football, also the NFL. We will also dive into this week in college football as well as the NFL. I know Thursday night football is happening as we speak. It's the Giants and the 49ers. We know where that's going to be going. We know where it's going to be headed. It's going to probably go towards San Francisco. That's why I wanted to come on the program tonight. But especially what has happened in the last weekend of what happened. And I want to get right into it. You know, we usually do our Jackets report. We usually start off with a big Jackets report. But tonight, I'm just going to go with it. I am just going to go with it. So bear with me. This is going to be a rant. I know you've been waiting for it. A lot of fans have been waiting for my opinion on the situation, so we're going to go into this. It needed to be done. After what has happened with the Players Association and what has happened with this organization, it needed to be done. Mike Babcock is no longer the head coach of our Columbus Blue Jackets. This is an absolute fucking embarrassment that this guy did this to the youngest talented team, in the National Hockey League. This team, when it drops for the 2023-24 season, will be the youngest team in the National Hockey League at 25 and a half years of age. And for this guy, this bastard, and I will call him that, a bastard, to do this to younger talent. If we, and for all of the younger talent, just to flip your phone and to see these pictures, I just absolutely, it's an embarrassment. And the fact that John Davidson and Jarmo Kekalainen believed this bullshit, believed it, that he was, you know, he was going to be clean, he's a good guy, he's going to be fantastic and everything like that. Well, the true colors have come out. You can't fix an old dog. You can't teach an old dog new tricks because he does the same exact thing that he did in Toronto and he has done his entire career. I had high hopes on this season being a great season. I thought we'd get to a wild card berth. I thought with the amount of talent we have, the youth that we have had, and this happens. And I gotta give Biz and Brittany the credit, okay? I have eaten crow off of this situation. But this is a fucking embarrassment that our general manager and president of hockey operations, both guys, believe the bullshit through Rick Nash and familiar faces, and look what happens. The Players Association, he does it. The Players Association files it. He's gone as the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets without even taking a win or a loss or even stepping foot on the Nationwide Arena ice. He gets fired before the season begins. That's a fucking embarrassment. And now we move, we have to transition to Pascal Vincent, who is now the new head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, Pascal has done a fantastic job, an absolute fantastic job as an associate head coach under Todd Richards, under John Tortorella. He has done fantastic. He has done great jobs in the AHL with the Manitoba Moose. He has done fantastic. But the thing is, taking that core of players who have believed, and Boone Jenner defending Mike Babcock and his actions. Now, the older players defending him. The younger players were the ones that complained. Now, you've got them meshing in the same room. It's going to be either two things that are going to happen in that room. It is going to be an absolute clusterfuck that nobody trusts anybody anymore, or they're going to rally together and play one of the best seasons of hockey that we're going to see. I'm hoping it's going to be the latter. That we're going to have a great season this year. Is it going to happen? Probably not now. Do I think that we're going to make the wild card? Probably not now. Do I think the team up in Detroit is going to make the playoffs now? Yes! Is it going to kill me? Yes! But there's no need for this old bastard to be in the NHL anymore. Do not hire him for NHL Network. Do not hire him for Hockey Night in Canada. Do not hire him, period. He is done. He is done. And that right there, that guy right there, that old creepy bastard needed to go. Because of the fact that this guy, it's gone. He is done. The story is done with him. Let me show you how many wins and losses he's got this year. Zero! Blank! Nothing! Nothing! Old creepy bastard had to go. And I am 33 years of age. I have been a Jackets fan. I have been a Jackets fan since the inception. I have lived through the lean years. I have seen the highs. I have seen the lows. And this is absolute the pits, the bottom, the losers. And they said, and I will say this. I will say this. The majority owner, John H. McConnell. John H. McConnell says that they are not going to address any more hockey operations this season. They want the team to gel together. They want it to gel together. They should have. And Pascal Vincent was the first coach. He was the front-running coach for this team at the beginning. And he got passed over by this old, creepy bastard. If I was Pascal Vincent, I would have said, no, I'm not going to take the job. And that would have been a big old for us. Because we would have no coach to start the season. And the hesitation, I'm just absolutely boggled. We don't know who the other players have come out. We know that we've heard it in interviews that it's been the older groups that have agreed with Babcock. They didn't mind it that much, but the younger players didn't. And like I said, the Columbus Blue Jackets are the youngest team in the National Hockey League this year at 25 and 5 years of age. And this guy needed to go. He absolutely needed to go. And I'm glad he's gone. So we could focus in on this season. We have this great young talent. Great young talent that we have. This great young talent that we have in Adam Fantilli. We have a healthy Zach Werenski. We have a Patrick Laine and a Johnny Gaudreau. The sophomore year of Gaudreau. This is going to be the put up or shut up year for him. You have the construction of a captain in Boone Jenner that's going to have everybody healthy and everything. A great player in Justin Danforth. A younger, talented team. And I'm just going to say this. Elvis Merzlikins is going to be your goaltender. He looks good. Training camp is starting. We have exhibition games that start on Sunday. First games at 1 o'clock in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. And then they come, and then they have a dual game because they have so many. They have a 72-man roster. 72-man roster. 72-man roster to start the season. They'll cut that down to 20. So they have a split squad team right now. So, but he needed to go. And now the question is, after this season, is this the writing on the wall for Jarmo Kekalainen and John Davidson? Now, to me, I would have to keep John Davidson. He had some role into this, but this is all on Jarmo. This is all on Jarmo Kekalainen. Plain and simple. It's up to Jarmo. And the fact that this team is constructed by him. If this team doesn't perform well, end of the season. But we'll see. I just couldn't believe that this guy did it again. And cost us right before the season starts. And I'm glad that the league decided to do this. I'm glad that the league decided to do this now in the middle of before training camp started. Because imagine what it would be like if this start was in the middle of the season. It would be an absolute mess. So I give credit to Bettman. And I give credit to the Players Association for getting this deal and this situation done now. Instead of at the beginning when it's all a mess. But I want your take right here on Facebook Live. Do you agree with me on this? Do you think the Jackets made the right move in firing Mike Babcock? I agree. But this is a big blunder. This is a huge blunder. And with training camp starting now, it is just, I'm just absolutely livid. I am absolutely livid. To go through all the summer with all the interviews and all the hype that this team was going to be great, and now you leave with no experience, a full NHL experience coach. And I agree. I agree with what the statement I overheard is that, you know, this is an old boys club, that the Jackets, you know, it's a rotation of, like, experienced coaches. I mean, we see Peter Laviolette getting rotated around. Barry Trotz get rotated left around. So they are younger coaches that actually need experience. They're not getting it because you have the old boys going around in circles just trying to collect a paycheck, become a head coach. And so a younger guy like Pascal Vincent, I think, honestly, is probably going to help this team because it's a young team with a young coach that could do well. But the thing is, 25 and a half years of age. You have a few sprinkled veterans here and there. Is this going to be the team? Brian says they made the 100%, 1,000% right, made the right move. I think the Jackets will do well. I do. I really do. I hope they do. Do I see them getting into the postseason? Do I see them getting close? I do see them getting close. But I just don't. I think they're a year to 2 years away. I hope they're building this process, continuing to build this process more and more like what's happening in Detroit with the Red Wings. I mean, Yzerman's building and building and building, and not a lot of people are talking about it. But I think this is going to be. They're going to make some noise this year. I think they're still 1 year away. They need one big piece. They have the puzzle. It's built. It's that one piece that they just can insert into that. And for me, I think it's goaltending. Once they get that, when Sebastian Kosa gets fully healthy and to get his full experience into it, a younger goalie, perfect. But, you know, we shall see. We shall see what happens. And but the fact that this happened is just another blunder in the world of the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's just another blunder, and we become the laughingstock of the National Hockey League. You know, we have become more and more the laughingstock of the National Hockey League. And let them laugh. Let them laugh. Let them have their time. Let them have their giggle shits and giggles. But when the time comes and this team is going to be strong enough, willing enough, and ready to go, they can make some noise. And they can really put some damage and put some pucks in the back of the net. Think about this. Fratelli and Laine on the same line. Both guys, hard shots. It's going to be good. Be good, so we'll see. Also, got to make mention of this really quickly as well. Of course, yours truly went down to the Huntington Center on Tuesday night. Was part of the Walleye commercial, the Walleye hype video. Actually had a good time. I saw a lot of the season ticket holders, a lot of the, you know, the everyday, you know, the Walleye fans that I see down there. Wore the black jersey, of course, out for 12. My sister and her husband was down there as well. Had us running up and down Jefferson for like 8-9 takes, and I'll tell you, on a jersey with a t-shirt on underneath it, I was sweating, and it was hot. I was sweating up and down, but I look forward to this season. And they just signed a big deal with a former Bowling Green hockey coach with a Bowling Green hockey team, and I want to get into that now. That's Paraguay. But the commercial's good. You'll see me there. Hopefully you'll see me. We'll see. And when that comes out, we'll share it right here on Facebook as well as on Twitter and so on and so forth. But let me get into this right here. This situation with BG Hockey. This is embarrassing too. So I've had two embarrassing teams with my hockey teams and my alma mater. Two. Of course, if you haven't heard the news yet, the Bowling Green State University hockey team suspended three players and have put Coach Ty Unger on administrative leave after hazing incidents within the university. And then, the kicker of all kickers is that our top player that was going to be the CCHA Player of the Year, the same day as this hits, the suspensions and everything, enters the transfer portal. Oh, and did I mention that camp for them started on Monday, the day that the incident got released? This is unbelievable. I was just absolutely shocked, and it was unbelievable that this happened. It happens to my teams, and it happens to me all the time. We get good, we look good, we get the season started, we're getting ready to start the season. Shit hits the fan. Jackets, Falcons. Now if the Walleyes somehow, someway screw up, then, and if you haven't heard too yet, I'll give you a little Walleye taste. Cole Frazier was traded today. Cole Frazier was traded today to the South Carolina Stingrays for another defenseman. His name is Matthew. I forget his last name. His first name is Matthew. And he played under the new head coach. So Frazier, gone. They'll be playing in South Carolina. Toledo doesn't play South Carolina. They play in South Carolina this year. So there's that. But it'll be interesting. We'll have more developments with this whole Unger situation and all this fun stuff as we move on. Jackets, like I said, preseason schedule. They'll be playing Pittsburgh on Sunday, 1 o'clock. And then again at 7 o'clock at Nationwide. It's a split squad, so half the team will be going to Pittsburgh. The other team, half, will be staying in Columbus. It'll be vice versa with both teams. So, and we'll start having cuts soon enough, and we'll find out what the roster will look like if Fertelli will be making the opening night roster. And it looks like he will, probably will. But, yeah, we shall see. You've got hockey now starting up, college, semi-pro, and pro, all starting up. This is the show you want to be on. This is the show you want to watch and listen to. Right here on All Andy Elford tonight. Right here on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much for tuning into the program tonight. Now let's hit the gridiron. Let's talk some college football. And let's talk about the game that we saw last Saturday night at the Big House. Let's talk some BG football. First, before we begin, like I said, the show's taped on Facebook Live. And you can always watch our podcast right here on Facebook Live. Whether it be, you know, tape delay or... So post your comments. You know, Brian wrote that comment about the Jackets. Your feelings on, you know, football this weekend. You know, who do you got? Who do you have a feeling for? But let's get into some college football first and foremost. Of course, the big game, of course, I want to talk about really quickly. Not much to really discuss from last week in week three in college football. Of course, you know, Penn State, big win over Illinois, 30-13. Florida State struggling in Boston College by a score of 31-29. Ohio State routing Western Kentucky in the game 63-10. You had, you know, Alabama roll tide, getting the roll tide. You know, struggled at the beginning, but they found a way to get the win. They won 17-3. Notre Dame, a huge win over Central Michigan, 41-17. You know, there was truly not a big upset, but the big one, of course, like I was mentioning, is Bowling Green. BG going into the Big House. Big game. The return for Scott Loeffler as now the head coach of Bowling Green State University. And, you know, BG played tough with them. And J.J. McCarthy really struggled in this game. He really struggled. Throwing those three picks in this game after, you know, having all the turnovers in the game, you know, and at the break only being it being 14-6 at the break, and then Michigan then turning on the Jets in the second half, didn't, and Beachy keeping them off the scoreboard in the fourth quarter. You know, it was a win in some aspects for Bowling Green. It was a win for me in my pocket. Because BG was, with plus the points, it was 40.5. BG won the game, 46-31. So, that's a good beat. So, of course, like I mentioned before, J.J. McCarthy struggled in this game, you know, in the first half. But then he caught his stride in the second half, scoring two touchdowns in this game against Bowling Green this past Saturday at the Big House. As McCarthy, looking at his final lines from the Michigan game, for the Michigan quarterback. Excuse me, I take a sip of water here. In the game for J.J. McCarthy against Bowling Green. Gotta love technology sometimes. Right, here we go. McCarthy in the game, he was 8 for 13 for 143 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions, all in the first half. Kane Orr replacing Belzik, and Belzik was a no-go as of Friday, we hear from Scott Loeffler. He was a no-go Friday. We don't know if he's going to start on Saturday at 3:30 against Ohio for the homecoming game. We don't know yet. That's a decision by Loeffler. But Kane Orr, 8 for 11 for 91 yards. Mosley for 4 carries, 33 yards. O.J. Hilaire, 2 catches, 37 yards. But Blake Corum did most of the running. 12 carries for 101 yards, 2 TDs in the game. And you know, it's a pretty, you know, pretty clean game in some aspects of this game for Bowling Green and both Michigan. BG only having 2 penalties for 15 yards. Michigan, 1 penalty, 10 yards. They had 4 turnovers in the game. So, you know, Arby's was calling Michigan in that one. They had, were making all the turnovers in the game. 4 turnovers, 1 fumble, 3 interceptions in the game. BG had 203 total yards of offense, 124 through the air, 79 on the ground. Michigan, 312 yards of total offense, 143 through the air, 169 yards on the ground. So, you know, Corum was the key to the everything. BG doesn't have a run, really true run defense when it comes to it, but you know, it was good to see BG hanging with them in the game. And BG led in time of possession, 36 minutes and 24 seconds to Michigan's 23 minutes and 36 seconds. So BG falls to 1-2. Michigan, now the second ranked team in the country, go now to 3-0 going into this week's play. Of course, like I mentioned before, Ohio State, a huge win over Western Kentucky. It was 63-10. Notre Dame, a huge win, 47-10 over Central Michigan. Toledo finding a way and getting the job done, winning against San Jose State at the Glass Bowl. That was a huge win for the University of Toledo because, you know, they were struggling in that game. Both teams were struggling, and for Toledo to come out and pull the win over a Pac-12 school, that's huge. San Jose State is not a pushover. Toledo, a big win, 21-17. Akron thumped by Kentucky, 35-3. Miami of Ohio going into the Bearcat country and getting the victory bell, 31-24 in overtime. That was huge. Nebraska gets on the right side of Northern Illinois, 35-11. Iowa smacking Western Michigan 41-10. Ball State 45-7 win over Indiana State. Eastern Michigan beating up on UMass 19-17. Ohio, this is a big one. Ohio welcomed in Matt Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones, and they get the 10-7 win over them. Liberty 55-27 victory over the Buffalo Bulls. And Kent State a 38-10 win over Central Connecticut. So now we get into this week's slate of games. Huge games going forward in the top 25. And by the way, getting into it really quickly, top 25 looks like this going into Saturday's games. Looks like this. Of course, number one ranked Georgia still at the top spot, even though they struggled against South Carolina on Saturday. They're the number one team. Michigan's at 2. Texas moves up one spot to 3. Florida State to 4 as they drop one spot. USC 5. Ohio State 6. Penn State 7. Washington 8. Notre Dame is 9. And Oregon is 10th. Utah is 11th. LSU 12th. Alabama Roll Tide is now 13th ranked as they fall 3 spots. Oregon State 14th. Ole Miss 15th. It is Oklahoma 16th. North Carolina 17th. Duke 18th. Deion Sanders and the Colorado Bison are 19th ranked at 3-0. Miami, Florida is 20th. At 3-0, Washington State, 21st, UCLA, 22nd, Tennessee is 23rd, Iowa is 24th, and Florida is 25th ranked in the country. The team that falls out of the top 25 is Kansas State. So now we get into this week's slated games, top 25 games, and you'll hear my predictions as well, and you'll hear also my card that I will be entering in to the Barstool Sportsbook. Of course, Barstool Sportsbook is the exclusive lines that we give you right here on All Andy Alfred. And you could go to the Barstool Sportsbook app to download their app as you can bet along with your favorite Barstool sports personalities like Dave Portnoy and Big Cat and so much more. Download the Barstool Sportsbook app today. Remember to game responsibly. If you're a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER is where you need to call to get into if you have a gambling problem. So there's that as we welcome in the cat into the room. Of course, top 25, week 4. We've hit week 4 of the college football season, of course. And we'll start off first and foremost with Florida State. We'll travel to Clemson, to the Rock at Clemson. Noon kick on ABC. Florida State a 2.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Florida State in that game. 16th ranked Oklahoma travels to Cincinnati to take on the Bearcats in the big noon kickoff. As Oklahoma is a 14-point favorite in the game, I will take Oklahoma in the game. The big one, of course, like I mentioned before, a few big games, and it's all going to be during the 3:30 and 4 in the 7:30 time slots. So please plan accordingly if you're going to watch these games. 19th ranked Colorado travels to 10th ranked Oregon. That is a big test for Deion Sanders. Oregon favored by 21 points in this game. I am going to take Oregon in this game. 22nd ranked UCLA travels to Utah to take on Utah. 3:30 kick on Fox. Utah 6-point favorite. I will take Utah in that game. 15th ranked Ole Miss travels to Alabama to take on the Crimson Tide. Roll Tide, Bama. And I think Ole Miss will get the job done. Alabama 6.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going to take Ole Miss. That's the second loss for Saban. The dynasty is over. 18th ranked Duke heads to UConn. 3:30 kick on CBS Sports Network. Duke a 21.5-point favorite. I'll take the Dukies in that one. 20th ranked Miami of Florida will take on the Temple Owls. 3:30 kick on ESPN2. Miami 20th ranked in the country. I will take Miami in that one. 23rd ranked Tennessee travels at home to take on UTSA. University of Texas at San Antonio, 4 o'clock kick on the SEC Network, Tennessee 21-point favorite. I'm taking Tennessee in that one. The big game, of course, it will be the Saturday night kickoff on ESPN as 2-1 Arkansas will take on the 12th-ranked LSU Tigers in Death Valley in this game. LSU 17.5-point favorites in this game. I am taking the LSU Tigers in this game. Oregon State, 14th ranked in the country, heads up to Washington State. Big game for Washington State. 7 o'clock kick. Oregon State 3-point favorites in this game. I'm going to take Oregon State in this game as UAB will take on the number one ranked team in the country, and that is the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia, a 42.5-point favorite in this game. I'm taking the Georgia Bulldogs in that game as well. 25th-ranked Florida welcomes in Charlotte. 7 o'clock kick on ESPN Plus and the SEC Plus. Florida, 28-point favorite in this game. I'm going to take the Florida Gators in this game, of course. And then you also have 17th-ranked North Carolina traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Panthers. North Carolina, 7.5-point favorite in this game. I'm taking North Carolina in that one. The light caps are as follows. 5th-ranked USC travels to the desert to take on Arizona State, 10:30 kickoff. USC, a 34.5-point favorite in this one. I will take USC in this one. And the final game, of course, Washington heads home to take on Cal, 10:30 kick on ESPN. Washington, a 20.5-point favorite in this game. I will take Washington in this slate, which now sets up the Big Ten matchups that I know a lot of people are looking forward to in this one, and especially in this neck of the woods right now, as you have, of course, starting tomorrow night, as Wisconsin, 2-1, heads to Lafayette to take on the Purdue Boilermakers, 7 o'clock kick. Wisconsin, 6-point favorite in this game. I will take Wisconsin in this game. Then we get to the Saturday slate. FAU goes to Illinois to take on the Fighting Illini, 3:30 kick on Big Ten Network. Illini, 15.5-point favorites in this game. I will take the Fighting Illini in that game. Maryland travels to East Lansing. New regime, the new coaching regime, will get their first full week with the team. 3:30 kick on NBC. Maryland, a 7.5-point favorite in this game. I will take Maryland in this game. Michigan State season's done. This is where I think it's going to be interesting. Nebraska hosts Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech 2-2. Nebraska 1-2. Nebraska, a 20.5-point favorite. I'm going to take Louisiana Tech in this game. I think they can beat Nebraska in the game. Akron travels to Indiana. Indiana, 17-point favorite in the game. Both teams 1-2 in their marks. 7:30 kick on Big Ten Network. I will take Indiana that one. Minnesota goes to Northwestern. Minnesota, 11-point favorite in the game. 7:30 kick on Big Ten Network. I will take Minnesota in that one, which then sets up 24th-ranked Iowa heading to 7th-ranked Penn State. 7:30 kickoff on CBS. CBS heading into Nittany Lion Country. Penn State, 15-point favorite in this game. Taking Penn State. We are Penn State. Which then sets up the two local games, of course. Rutgers, 3-0, travels to the Big House to take on the second-ranked Michigan Wolverines. Michigan, a huge favorite in this game. 24-point favorite in this game. Rutgers is going to play them tough. Rutgers is pretty tough. 3-0. Michigan's going to win the game, but they're going to play it tough. No cover. Which sets up the big game for yours truly. At 7:30 on NBC, the 6th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes travel to South Bend, Indiana to take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. The Irish are not favored in this game. Ohio State, a 3-point favorite. So this is a pick'em game, ladies and gentlemen. Notre Dame is a plus 150 in the money line. The over-under in this game is 40.5. This is a big one. This is a big one for me. I've been waiting for this game for about a year. After the first game last year, when Notre Dame went to Ohio State, and under the new coach, I felt like, brought down. But Sam Hartman and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish hosting game day, big game. I like this game. A lot of people projecting Ohio State's going to win this game. Looking at the projection matchup on the ESPN app, they have it at 66.1% in favor of Ohio State, 33.9%. If you look at both teams, Notre Dame, total yards per game, they have 508 total yards. That's 304 in the air, 204 on the ground. For Ohio State, they average about 474.7 yards, 318 through the air, 156.7 through the ground. They allow, Ohio State allows 223, Notre Dame allows 234. They have a chance of rain Saturday night. By the way, the over has changed since I wrote this up. It's now 55.5. 55.5. Big game. Big, big game. This one, I think, will, with Marcus Freeman going up against Ryan Day. Well, these sons of Notre Dame, cheer for fighting and hear the claim. We will come and show them, dun, 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 rah, rah, to Notre Dame. Cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes cheering her name. Send the volley cheer on high. Shake down the thunder far from the sky. Although the odds be great or small, old Notre Dame is winning overall. While her loyal sons are marching onward to victory. This is giving me the vibes against Clemson all over again, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to take Notre Dame to beat the Ohio State University, and they are going to bust these nuts. Ohio State falls to Notre Dame. I guarantee it. That is my bet. The five-card parlay bet will be as follows. The big one, Notre Dame and the money line. I will take that straight up. I will take Michigan and the money line straight up. I will take the over in Maryland. I will take the under in Maryland and Michigan State. And now that will set up the other card, of course, which is the Mid-American Conference. Big game for the Mid-American Conference. As it, big games for the MAC this weekend in week 4 of the college football season. Huge games as Tulsa comes up to Northern Illinois. Noon kick on CBS Sports Network. No, the NIU Huskies, a 4-point favorite in the game. I'm taking NIU in that game. Georgia Southern travels to Muncie, Indiana. And Dave Letterman's alma mater of the Ball State Fighting Football Cardinals. Fighting Football Cardinals. I will take Georgia Southern in that game. Delaware State travels to Miami of Ohio, 3:30 kickoff. Miami of Ohio is favored in the game. Miami of Ohio, of course. Eastern Michigan travels down to Jacksonville State. It's 5:00 kick. Jacksonville State, 6.5-point favorite. I will take Jacksonville State in that game. Central Michigan travels to South Alabama. South Alabama, very good team. Very, very good team. I'm going to take South Alabama in that game. And by the way, South Alabama, a 16.5-point favorite in that game. Like I mentioned, Indiana taking on Akron. I will take Indiana in that game. Buffalo travels down to Louisiana to take on the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. Buffalo 0-3 this season. Louisiana 2-1. Louisiana 10-point favorite. I will take Louisiana. And then we get into the local game, of course. 1:30 kickoff at the Glass Bowl, a big matchup. This could determine basically the MAC West, as the Western Michigan Broncos, 1-2 after their big defeating loss against the Iowa Hawkeyes last week, head to the Glass Bowl to take on the Toledo Rockets, who are 2-1. Toledo, a 21-point favorite in this game. 1:30 kickoff on ESPN+. I will take Western Michigan. I think they can get up for this game. But I would not be surprised if Toledo wins this game. I will take Western Michigan close over the University of Toledo. And then, of course, the big game that's happening at Dwight Perry Stadium is it is homecoming weekend. As our Bowling Green State University Falcons, who are injured and not at 100%, ladies and gentlemen. They are not at 100%. And Scott Loeffler has been playing it by day in his press conference on Monday of how they were going to practice. We don't know what the team is going to look like, but they're going to, as in his words, put up a good front for the homecoming game this upcoming weekend as the Ohio Bobcats come to Dwight L. Perry Stadium. As they are 3-1 overall, they will take on Bowling Green, who's 1-2 overall. Ohio is a 13-point favorite in this game. They will celebrate the 100 years of the Falcon Marching Band. Got to give a shout out to Jamie Nuragon, by the way, who is a member of the alumni band that she won't be playing this weekend, but she is a member, former member of the Bowling Green State University Marching Band. So got to give a shout out to her and to all the Falcon Marching Bands. Have a great weekend and a great weekend for all the students as well. To get to the Dwight, if you're going, go. Go enjoy it. 3:30 kickoff. The game will be done by about 6:45, 7 o'clock. You'll be home in time just to watch that big Ohio State Notre Dame game when Notre Dame destroys Ohio State in a close one at Notre Dame Stadium. So, who do I have in this game? With all the injuries and all the damage that the Bowling Green football team has this weekend, last weekend, I see us limping into this game and not winning this game, unfortunately. I have Ohio. And this is a big game for Bowling Green. If Bowling Green wins this game, they set their destiny for the rest of the season. They set their destiny for the rest of the season. And if BG somehow, some way wins this game against Ohio, which I don't see happening, they are in control of the MAC East. And I don't see it happening. I have Ohio beating Bowling Green this week. So, again, to recap the betting card for college football for week four, I have Florida State, Oklahoma, Oregon beating Colorado, by the way. Utah, Ole Miss over Alabama, Duke, Miami of Florida, Tennessee, LSU, Oregon State, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, USC, and Washington are my top 25 games. For the Big Ten games is as follows. Tomorrow night, Wisconsin and Purdue. I will take Wisconsin the game. Illinois and a big win over for them. Maryland, Louisiana Tech over Nebraska. Penn State over Iowa. Indiana over Akron. Minnesota over Northwestern. I have Michigan routing and beating Rutgers, but I think Rutgers will play tough. And I have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish busting those nuts, beating Ohio State. And then my MAC card is as follows. NIU, I have Georgia Southern over Ball State, Miami of Ohio, Eastern Michigan, South Alabama over Central Michigan, Louisiana over Buffalo, Fresno State is playing somebody, by the way. Fresno State is playing Kent State. I have Fresno State, by the way. Fresno State in my card on that one. And then Western Michigan over Toledo in a close game. And Ohio beating Bowling Green. Remember to use the Barstool Sportsbook app to place your bets. And my betting card will be as follows. I will take Notre Dame in the money line straight. I will take Michigan money line straight. I will take the under in Maryland versus Michigan State. I will take Ohio. I will take Ohio. Actually, I will take Ohio money line straight and Western Michigan money line straight. So there is my betting card for college football for week four. We'll see how that all shakes out. Dollar bet. We'll see what that all shakes out as well. As you are watching and listening to All Andy Alford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Facebook Live, and if you're listening, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, Pocket Cast, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now let's continue to hit the gridiron. Let's talk a little National Football League, of course. So we get into the NFL now, of course. And, of course, the Lions, you know, somehow, some way, I figured that the Lions were going to win this, either win this game or they were going to lose this game in a heartbreaker. And they did lose themselves in a heartbreaker this past Sunday at Ford Field in front of a sold-out crowd at Ford Field. The Lions took on the Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, and the Seattle Seahawks. Played them tough. Kicked the field goal with no time left to go in the fourth quarter to get it close. You know, the pass to Lockett, he walked straight in, and that was the game. Enough. It was just enough to, I've had enough time to digest it. Oh, this was a game that we needed to win. This was a game we desperately, desperately needed to win. Because after all that momentum that we had against Kansas City, all that momentum that we had throughout the game, and to rally to get to 10 points just to force the overtime and then just to LOL ourselves, the Lions fall to the Seahawks 37-31 in overtime. You look at the box score in this game. Of course, Geno Smith, 32 for 41 for 328 total yards passing, two touchdowns, QBR rating of 78.8%. Kenneth Walker, 17 carries for 43 yards, two TDs in the game. DK Metcalf, six catches, 75 yards. Tyler Lockett, eight catches, 59 yards, two TDs. That second TD was the dagger that won it in for them. For the Lions, Goff, 28 for 35. He did pretty well, 329 passing, three TDs, one interception, QBR 77.9. David Montgomery, 16 carries, 67 yards, one TD. Jahmyr Gibbs, seven carries, 17 yards. Amon St. Brown, six catches, 102 yards. Josh Reynolds, five catches, 66 yards, two TDs in the game. Raymond, two catches, 42 yards, one TD. But the big one, the big injury that's going to be coming out of this is big injury out of it on the defensive side. CJ Gardner-Johnson's out. That's a big blow. That's a huge blow to this defense. Callis, seven solo tackles. Big player. Big player. It's going to be a big play for the Lions. The Lions have, there's a lot of favor in this Lions team this year. I have a lot of favor to them. And after the performance they put up against Kansas City in week one, figured that they were going to, you know, make some noise, be 2-0, maybe 3-0 after this weekend. The injury might cause some panic. Calm down. It was just a bad loss. Let's get back onto the winning page. We'll get back into it. We'll be fine. Lions totally in the game at 418 total yards, 316 through the air, 102 on the ground. For Seattle, they had 393 total yards of offense, 311 through the air, 82 yards rushing in the game. Nine penalties, 80 yards for Seattle. Four penalties, 24 yards for the Lions. The Lions had three turnovers in the game, two fumbles, and one interception in this game. Can't have that happen. Can't have it happen. Plain and simple. So the Lions fall 1-1. The Seahawks are now 1-1 as well. Looking at some of the other games, of course, we'll get to what happened on Monday here in just a second. But looking at the rest of the card, Thursday Night Football. So the Eagles getting a big 34-28 win over the Vikings. The Bills, a 38-10 win over the Raiders. The Ravens, a 27-24 win over Joe Burrow And the Bungles are struggling right now. 0-2 to start the season. Not a good way to start, especially for Joey B. Kansas City getting a 17-9 win over Jacksonville. Travis Kelce in the game finding his blank space and getting it into the end zone. The Atlanta Falcons beating up on the Green Bay Packers 25-24. Tennessee tighten up, baby. 27-24 wins over the Chargers. That's a huge win for them. The Colts a 31-20 win over the Texans. The Bears falling apart. And they have trouble with Justin Fields. Fields calling out his coaching staff in this week's press conference. They fell to the Buccaneers 27-17. So Phil gets a big win there over Wes's Bears, of course. Then how about this one? I got a chance to watch this on the Red Zone. How about the G-Men? The New York Football Giants. Coming from behind, down 27-3 in the midway point of the third quarter, come roaring back and, 28-3, come roaring back and defeat the Arizona Cardinals 31-28. Unbelievable. San Francisco, a huge win, 30-23. It was the Cowgirls, a big 30-10 win over the Jets. The Commanders, a 35-33 win over the Broncos, and that was a doozy of an end of a game. You know, Russell Wilson throwing it up with no time left to go, catches it into the end zone in a Hail Mary pass. They can't convert. It definitely was pass interference. Can't convert on it, and they lose to the two-point conversion 35-33. The Dolphins on Sunday night getting the job done over Mac Jones and the New England Patriots 24-17. New Orleans getting a big 20-17 win on Monday night. And then we get to the other Monday night game. It was a doubleheader on Monday night, as it was the Pittsburgh Steelers having their home opener, their second game of their season, at home against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns coming in to formerly Heinz Field. I don't know what they call it now, but it was a sloppy game. And there was no rain. Both teams were absolutely sloppy. They looked terrible. They looked horrendous. It was embarrassing in a lot of aspects. The Browns' season, in my opinion, is salvageable now. I said earlier in the week when I was writing this up, I said that the Browns' season is basically done. It's now salvageable now. The big takeaway from this game is that Nick Chubb gets injured, blown out his knee, tore his knee up. He's done. His season's done. I think his career is done, unfortunately. This is the same leg that he got injured on when he was in Georgia. He can't rebuild a knee twice. It's going to be hard to, you know, bounce back after that. I think I think we've seen the final play of Nick Chubb's career, in my opinion. Unfortunately to say that. That's the final play, I think, of Nick Chubb's career that we've just witnessed. But it was, of course, the T.J. Watt scoop and score that helped the Steelers to a huge win over the Cleveland Browns, 26-22. If you're looking at it, Kenny Pickett for the Steelers in the game, 15 for 30. He was terrible. One TD, one interception for 222 yards. QBR rating was a 12.3. Najee Harris, 10 carries for 43 yards. It was George Pickens, 4 catches, 127 yards, 1 TD in the game. Allen Robinson, the second, 2 catches, 12 yards in the game. For Deshaun Watson, he looked terrible too. 22 for 40 for 235 total yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. But his QBR rating was a lot better at 16.5%. Gerard Ford took most of the carries after Nick Chubb's injury. He had 16 carries for 106 yards, but Chubb, 10 carries, 64 yards to end his career with the Browns. You look at the receiving core, Amari Cooper got injured in the game. 7 catches, 90 yards. David Njoku was the big piece to get those big first downs for the Browns. 4 catches, 48 yards. Jerome Ford, 3 catches, 25 yards, 1 TD. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 1 catch, 7 yards in the game. You look at the overall team stats when it comes to this game. The Browns had 20 first downs, the Steelers 9. The Browns had 408 total yards of offense, 210 through the air, 198 on the ground. For the Steelers, they had 55 on the ground, 200 in the air for 255 total yards. And that told you that the Browns should have won this football game, but it didn't happen that way because turnovers was key. 4 turnovers for the Browns, 3 fumbles, and 1 interception in the game. So they were the Arby's turnover of the week for us. It was the 4 turnovers for the Falcons, for the Browns in this game. The Steelers, 2 turnovers in the game, 1 fumble, 1 interception. The Browns had 8 penalties for 81 yards. The Steelers, 5 penalties, 31 yards in the game. The Browns led in possession 35 minutes to 28 seconds. To the Steelers, 24 minutes and 32 seconds. Both teams now go to 1-1. On the season. So with that all in mind, let's take a look at what I have projected for week 3 in the National Football League. So we start off with Thursday Night Football as the New York Football Giants are in Levi's Stadium to take on the 49ers as they get ready to start they're at the half right now. The 49ers are up 17-6 on the G-Men. I have San Francisco in the game, by the way. So we get to the Sunday card. It looks like this. Baltimore hosts the Indianapolis Colts, 1 o'clock on CBS. I will take Baltimore in that game. Miami travels home to play the Denver Broncos. The Broncos 0-2. Miami 2-0. Miami a 6.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going to take Miami in this game. The New England Patriots travel down to MetLife Stadium to see Zach Wilson, who's banging moms and taking names. And the New York Football Jets. The New York Football Jets are not favored in this game. The Patriots are a 2.5-point favorite in this game. I'm taking New England in this game. The Washington Commanders welcome in Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Washington 2-0, Buffalo 1-1. Buffalo, the better team, as they're a 6-point favorite in this game. I will take Buffalo in this game. New Orleans travels to Green Bay, 1 o'clock kick. The Saints 2-0 coming off the big Monday night win. Take on Jordan Love, who has struggled against the Atlanta Falcons. Green Bay a 1.5-point favorite in this game. I will take New Orleans to beat Green Bay in this game. Houston travels to Jacksonville. 1 o'clock kick on Fox. Jacksonville 1-1. Houston 0-2. I'm taking Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars in this game. 1 o'clock kick in Minnesota as both teams looking for their first win of the season as the Los Angeles Chargers, who are struggling at 0-2, will take on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. At 1 o'clock on Fox, Minnesota 1-point favorite. I'm going to take the Chargers to beat Minnesota in this game. And then that sets up the local games, of course. And we'll start off with this one first and foremost, happening at formerly First Energy Stadium on the banks of the Cuyahoga River next to Lake Erie, as it will be the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry taking on Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are favored by 3.5 in this game. No Chubb, but now Kareem Hunt is now the new running back as he signs a 1-year, $4 million deal with the Browns. It's a great move, great play for him. He already knows most of the offense of Kevin Stefanski. He knows the plays. He knows everything before he was released. It's still not going to be enough. I think Derrick Henry is will tear that defense apart. I am taking Tennessee over the Cleveland Browns. Then we have, of course, the other 1 o'clock game at Ford Field, as it will be Desmond Ridder and the Atlanta Falcons travel to beautiful Motown, Detroit City, take on Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions. The Lions, a 3-point favorite in this game. I'm taking the Lions in this game. Detroit will beat Atlanta in this game. Then we get to the 4 o'clock slate. Seattle, 1-1 overall, will take on Carolina, who is 0-2. Seattle, a 6-point favorite, 4:05 kick on CBS. I will take Seattle in the game. 4:25 kick on Fox. Two big games on Fox on Sunday, as they're the two games of the week this week, and it will be the Dallas Cowboys, led by Dak Prescott, will head into Arizona to take on the Arizona Cardinals, who were stunned by the New York Football Giants last week. The Giants, the Cowboys 2-0, Cardinals 0-2, Dallas a 12.5-point favorite. I will definitely take the Cowboys at 12.5. No good quarterback for Arizona. I think it's the America's game of the week as Justin Fields and the Bears travel to Arrowhead to take on Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Will Travis Kelce tell players, look what you made me do, catching those touchdowns? Will they be sending the Bears back to 1989? Will they be giving, or will they be shaking off a loss? You get what I'm saying. Bears 0-2, Chiefs 1-1. Chiefs a 12.5-point favorite. Taking the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football sees the Raiders taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Vegas, 2.5-point favorite over the Steelers. Definitely taking the Raiders. Can't stand Pittsburgh. Another two Monday night games. And I like the fact that now, since the writer's strike is happening, Monday Night Football has now been extended into ABC programming on Monday nights. So ABC will have all the Monday night games and the two playoff games. Enjoy Monday Night Football back on ABC. As it will be at 7:15 on ABC, as it will be the EAGLES Eagles taking on Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both teams 2-0, 7:15 kickoff. Eagles a 5-point favorite in the game. I'm taking the Eagles to beat Tampa Bay. And then at 8:15 on ESPN, it will be Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams traveling to the jungle to take on Joe Burrow, who's 0-2, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals a 3-point favorite. I think the Bengals finally get their first win, and it's grateful that the Rams are coming into town. So again, the card as follows. I have San Francisco this evening, as you know, I projected earlier in the week. Baltimore taking on, beating Indianapolis, Miami over Denver, New England over the Jets, Buffalo over Washington, New Orleans over Green Bay, Jacksonville over Houston, the Chargers getting the big win and setting Kirk Cousins to 0-3 over the Minnesota Vikings, Tennessee and Derrick Henry beating up on the Cleveland Browns, Desmond Ridder falling to Jared Goff by the Detroit Lions, the Lions over Atlanta, Seattle a big win over Carolina. I'll have Dallas beating Arizona, Kansas City thrumping the Bears. It will be the Raiders defeating the Steelers on Sunday night, and the two Monday night games, Philadelphia over Tampa, Cincinnati over the Rams. Looking at the betting card as follow, like I mentioned, that you heard all the betting and everything like that. The game, of course, I'll take the Lions money line. I will take Tennessee in the money line. I will take the, let me see here really quickly. I got to look it up really quickly what the over-under is in the Dallas-Arizona game. This is the over-under on Dallas and Arizona. I'm building my card as we're doing this game right here. As we're doing this. The over-under right now in the game is 43. Over and over Dallas, Arizona. And we do four games. I don't like doing a Monday night game because I don't like to have my money held up. Give me a lot to give to the Bears at 12.5. So it's 5.5 to the Raiders for Sunday night.
Give me the Raiders. That's 2.5. So the four games, Lions, money line, Tennessee, money line, the over in Dallas, Arizona, and Las Vegas at 2.5. That's the betting card. And remember, to bet with the Barstool Sportsbook app, you can find it by on any of your Android or Google, as well as on the Apple App Store as well, too. If you have a gambling problem, call our friends at 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-GAMBLER, for your advice. So that is the Week 3 card in the National Football League, as you're watching and listening to a special edition of All Andy Alford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you for tuning in, as well as watching us right here on Facebook Live. And we will now hit the diamond as we have come down to the final week of the baseball season, and there's only one local team that's still in the hunt for Red October. So now we hit the diamond. Let's talk a little baseball, of course, as we have come to the final 2 weeks of the baseball season. The final, we have 2 weekends left of baseball left to be played this season in MLB. And, of course, the Guardians are seeing themselves out of the playoff hunt, as the Tigers have now caught up to the Guardians. But it's too little too late for both teams. Both teams are headed for the early exits this season. The Guardians right now in the division are 72-81, 9 games out of a playoff spot. The Tigers are 71-81, 9.5 games out. Both teams are one game away from elimination. The Twins are 81-72. So there's that for you. So the Twins are going to win the division, it looks like. So if you were looking wild card wise, they are not even close to the wild card. They have both been eliminated from the wild card. They're 12.5 and 13 games out of a wild card. So basically the season's done for baseball for both the Guardians and the Tigers. So now let's get into this one team that's going to be local, and that is the Reds. The Cincinnati Reds are still hypothetically in the playoff hunt. They are only a game out of a wild card spot. It's six teams that are still fighting for a wild card spot this season in the National League. Of course, Arizona is holding the second wild card spot at 81-72. The Cubs have just fallen apart. They're 79-73. The Marlins are right there at 79-74, and half a game out of a wild card spot. The Reds 79-75, only a game out of a wild card spot. And looking at the Reds will be playing the Pirates for the next 3 games before they head to Cleveland to take on the Guardians in a big 2-game series going forward. So that is huge for the Reds. The Reds have games in hand to win and to get into it. Their magic number from elimination is 9 games. Miami's at 10. San Francisco's at 8. San Diego's at 6. The Mets are about to be eliminated, so there's nothing to say about that. But the Tigers are in Oakland this weekend for a big 4-game series. They're actually playing right now. They're up 2-0 in the top of the 3rd inning as we speak. But the Reds, like I mentioned, Reds are playing the Pirates for 3 straight starting tomorrow night at Great American Ballpark. They'll play 3 against the Pirates, then 2 against Cleveland, and then 3 against St. Louis to end the season. Everybody will play on next Sunday, next Sunday at 3:00 Eastern Standard Time. So there's that for you. So the Reds still hypothetically in the hunt for it. The final stretch for the Tigers is we are coming to the end of the Miguel Cabrera season. They will play 4 straight against Oakland this weekend. Then they will head home for 3 against Kansas City starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then they will end with Cleveland the 29th, 30th, and October 1st. Cabrera's last game will be October 1st at 3:10 against the Cleveland Guardians. And like I said, the Guardians are getting ready for the final homestand. They'll play. They're actually playing the Baltimore Orioles right now. The Guardians are actually up 5-2 right now at the bottom of the 8th inning on Fox right now. So they're up 5-2 on the Orioles. They'll play the Orioles for 4 straight. Then they'll host the Reds for the final two games of their homestand, and then they will head to Detroit for the final three games of the regular season. So there is those final games. Baseball is headed towards the end of the season as we're in the final 2 weeks. The only race that's going to be interesting to watch when it comes to divisional-wise will be the West right now. It's between Texas, Seattle, and Houston. Who's going to win the division there in the National League? Of course, the Brewers are running the division right now at 87-66. So there's that. The Dodgers have clinched. The Braves have clinched. The Orioles have clinched. But Tampa's right there too. So there's that for you. Other baseball note to pass along, the Mud Hens. Their season's just about done. They finish up their homestand against Columbus. Got a chance to go Saturday night. Sat in the Libby Suite for the final time for the season. Caught about 5.5 innings of baseball before we took off to go watch the BG Michigan game. They looked pretty good. They won the game on Saturday. They fell on Sunday. So they started the season with a loss. And they end the regular season homestand with a loss as well. So there's that for you. So actually, we're going to tie it together. Of course, we're going to, as we get into some other sporting news to get into, of course, the Ryder Cup coming up soon. But the big one for me is this weekend is in Spain. It will be the 2023 Solheim Cup begins the journey tonight this morning at 2:10 in the morning. The coverage will start at 1 a.m. and it'll go, the first rounds begin at 2:10. And they'll continue on until, they'll be playing half holes, basically. The full roster for both Solheim Cup are as follows. We'll give you the players to watch out for, of course. The Team USA has struggled. They have not won the last six Solheim Cups. It did come to Toledo to Inverness Club. And the United States fell very, very easily that Saturday. I was there. Oh, they just looked terrible. My neighbor Lila and I were at the golf course watching it, and we just couldn't believe how much dominant that the European team was good. European team was good. So how the Solheim Cup works is that it will pitch 12 players from the U.S. against 12 European teams in a three-day match play event with 28 matches, and the team with the highest point total after three days is declared the winner of the Solheim Cup. In foursomes, alternative shot matches, each team plays one ball, and the golfer plays alternative shots until the hole is finished. In four-ball matches or best-ball matches, each member of the two-player team plays her own ball. Four balls are in play on each hole. The lowest score from each team will count towards the team. So like I said, Friday we'll start the four foursome matches and four ball matches. Thursday included four foursome matches and Saturday will include four foursome matches and four ball matches. And Sunday's finale will be a 12 head-to-head singles matches as well. For Team Europe, it'll be Celine Boutier, Caroline Segunda, Gemma Dryberg, Lynn Grant, Georgia Hall, Caroline Hadwall, Charlie Hall, Leona McGuire, Anna Northquist, Emily Penderson, Madeline Sandstrom, and Magia Stark, all being a part of Team Europe for this one. For the United States, it'll be Allison Corpus, Allie Ewing, Danielle Kang, Megan Kang, Cheyenne Knight, Nellie Korda, Jennifer Kupcho, Andrea Lee, Lexi Thompson, Lilia Vu, Angel Lin, and Rose Yang, the phenom, is going to play in the Solheim Cup over in Spain, which is the course of the Finas Costeña, located in Spain's southern coast. It's widely regarded as one of the European's top courses. It hosted the Volvo World Match Play Championships three times in the past. This is a 71-yard par layout of 6,136 yards, which isn't too long. For the front nine includes three par fives, two par threes, and a four par fours. The back nine has one par five, three par threes, and five par fours. They have Bermuda grass fairways and greens. The opening hole is drivable at 280 yards, a par four, which is reachable for the longest hitters off the tee. It also depends on how the wind is playing in the game this weekend. The course is built in a slope to the Sierra Bermuda mountain range, making a very difficult walk for competitors. Hitting the fairways because you have to hit the fairways because the deep rough and natural areas, finding the green because of runoffs is going to be very, 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 very delicate. So that'll all take place on Golf Channel starting at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it'll go from 1 o'clock till 5 a.m. our time here in the Eastern Standard Time, and then of course they will be rerunning it throughout the day so that you can catch up on what's going to happen. We'll give you a full breakdown of that next week on All Andy Alfred as we continue on the march to the drive on the championship. And of course, the LPGA is very, very high in my eyes, of course. So golf, the Ryder Cup, of course, huge. So we'll see. Of course, like I mentioned, the PGA, the Sanderson Farmers Championship, this is the next event for the PGA. They'll be in Jackson, Mississippi, October 5th through the 8th. And of course, like I said, the Ryder Cup will be taking place next weekend, September 29th through October 1st. So that's a huge weekend. The Ryder Cup is coming up very, very fast. Want to talk a little pro wrestling too first before we continue on. And there will be no Andy rants tonight, so just giving you the rant was about the Babcock situation. So there's the rant. Today, WWE had made two huge announcements, one of which we're going to discuss, and that is the cutting of pro wrestlers today. WWE cut a lot of pro wrestlers today, unfortunately. It was a bad day for WWE, as it was cut day for a lot of people. As Dolph Ziggler, Elias, and Top Dollar, just to name a few, were let go of their contracts by WWE. They were outright released from WWE. And Dolph Ziggler is the big one for me. Dolph Ziggler had 1,525. This is a stat from Sports Kina. What a career. 1,554 TV matches, the third most in WWE history. He was a two-time World Heavyweight Champion, an NXT Champion, six-time Intercontinental Champion, two-time United States Champion, four-time Tag Team Champion, and Mr. Money in the Bank. After 19 years in WWE, Dolph Ziggler has been released from his contract. The full list of players that have been released of a contract, of course. Mustafa Ali, gone. Emma, gone. Riddick Moss, gone. Aaliyah, who I really thought was going to make a big statement, big mouth in WWE, is now gone. Elias, now that is a huge one. And Ezekiel, gone. Now Elias, for me, never got the opportunity. And he was so over by a lot of people, a lot of fans, including yours truly. To see him get cut, that hurts. Rick Boos, gone. Top Dollar, Top Dollar, gone. Like I said, Dolph Ziggler, gone. Dana Brooke, cut. That's a huge one. Mansoor and Mace, gone. Cut. Shelton Benjamin, cut. Released. Shanky, cut. Released. Bryson Montana, Quincy Elliott. I mean, this is a big list. And Elias wrote in a tweet today, from drifting onto the scene to WrestleMania with John Cena and The Undertaker to millions around the world walking with Elias, a number one song on iTunes, to be the younger to being my own younger brother Zeke while traveling the world. It's been blessed. God is good. Elias. I'm just shocked by it. Absolutely shocked by it. Absolutely shocked. But another one that got me too was that they announced today that WWE is going to be moving Monday Night Raw and NXT off of USA Network. And USA Network will be getting Friday Night SmackDown. And Friday Night SmackDown is leaving Fox. That's at the start of the 2024 year. Now, they don't know yet where Monday Night Raw is going to happen. There's been a couple sources that I listened to, of course, from Busted Open on SiriusXM that I listened to, and, of course, from a couple people that I was reading on Twitter have also said that two companies that are looking to purchase the rights for Monday Night Raw and to NXT, one of which is Disney. And they will put it on FX or FXX. I don't like that. Mickey Mouse with Vince McMahon. And what about the deal that they've got with Peacock right now? Where does all that information, all that data go? The second one is the one that I fear the most. And that is Amazon. Amazon Prime wants to purchase the rights for Monday Night Raw and NXT. I will just say this. I would rather have everything on the USA Network. What does the USA Network show? They lost the rights for hockey. They show only NASCAR on Saturdays. Sometimes they'll show Indy cars, but that's on Sundays. Unique programming for Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Those three big shows will bring them in. Plain and simple. Just keep it on the USA Network. But we'll see. It's a fluiding situation. And last night, I think, was probably one of the greatest AEW shows that I watched. Even my wife, Amanda, who watches wrestling with me sometimes, she said that this was a really good show. She said it was a really good show. And when she says it's a really good show, then you know it's a really good show. Last night, AEW Grand Slam that took place at Arthur Ashe Stadium in the beautiful city of New York. It opened up with Eddie Kingston versus Claudio Castagnoli. And it was a title versus title match. And it was a really good match. It brought the house down. I really enjoyed it. And Eddie Kingston is the new AEW World Champion. Along with the New Japan Strong Championship belt as well. So congratulations, Eddie. He deserves it. Then you had Chris Jericho versus Sammy Guevara. This match went back and forth. Sammy paying homage to Chris Jericho while Jericho was paying homage to his mentor and friend, Shawn Michaels. Jericho with the win, but then Jericho got hit with a low blow. Guevara gets intercepted by Don Callis, the biggest earthworm in the world. Wins the match there. Then you get to the International Championship, which was Jon Moxley taking on Rey Fénix. And this match was a botch match, especially when Penta hit Moxley, and Moxley went down and landed on his neck. And the ref counted the pin, and he saw the twitch, and he figured that Moxley lifted his elbows up. Didn't lift his elbows up. So, yeah, Moxley, then he gets hit again. 1, 2, 3, and Rey Fénix is the new international, AEW International Champion. Then you get to what I thought was a pretty good match. The AEW Women's Championship between Toni Storm, who is now the Marilyn Monroe of AEW, taking on Saraya, who is the biggest waste in AEW wrestling, women's wrestling. They had a good match. I thought it was not the best match of the night. Best match of the night was the Eddie Kingston Claudio Castagnoli match. But it was a good, it was decent. It was decent. Toni Storm kissing Saraya. I felt like if this would have been the time, in my opinion, that Sasha Banks would show up. If she was healthy, this would have been the perfect time for her to show up and say, Saraya, I'm coming for you. This isn't your house anymore. It's my house, too. And then we get to the main event, which is the big one, the big match. MJF, Maxwell Jacob Freeman, taking on the AEW champion, taking on Samoa Joe. I thought that match was really good. And Max to choke out Samoa Joe, and Joe just to give him the respect to shake his hand. I felt like at that time, too, I felt like Adam Cole was going to turn on MJF. But that didn't happen. MJF choked out Samoa Joe, got the victory, and won, beating Samoa Joe. So, overall, I felt like a pay-per-view. It was really good. It was absolutely really good. Highly recommend it. If you could go find it, go watch it on DVR. If you have it, go watch it. Really recommend it. Really, really recommend it. So, yeah, that's all the other sports as well as, you know, so the Solheim Cup, big weekend for that. We came down to the end for the baseball season, of course. AEW and WWE making waves right here and the wrestling world. As you are watching and listening to us, to all Andy Elford tonight. And like I mentioned before, there is no Andy rants tonight because I did the big rant over Mike Babcock, that fucking old bastard. And that's, you know, that guy, I'm so glad that he's gone. I'm so glad now that he's gone. We'll see how this team shakes out. Exhibition game is on Sunday against Pittsburgh, 1 o'clock in Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock at the Schwide. You can get tickets at Nationwide as well as on BlueJackets.com. They'll have open practices, of course, starting on Saturday, and some scheduled for Sunday. I don't know off the top of my head, but so yeah, there's all that. Walleye season, of course, like I mentioned before, got a chance to be in the hype video. Look out for that coming forward. And a big weekend in college football. I hope that Notre Dame gets the job done over the Ohio State Buckeyes. It'll be a big weekend, too, for all the Bowling Green people that are headed down to the beautiful campus that is Dwight L. Perry Stadium to watch our Bowling Green State University Falcons take on the Ohio Bobcats. 3:30 kickoff for that one. Tickets, you can get tickets, too, for that as well. But like I said, the big game, of course, looking forward to it, will be Saturday night, 7:30 at Notre Dame Stadium as the 6th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes take on the 9th-ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I'm taking Notre Dame and the money line straight for that game. So looking forward to seeing what happens in that game. Looking forward to seeing what happens. As I'm, you know, I'm rooting for Notre Dame. I hope they bust these nuts over it. So we'll see. So that's going to wrap it up for all Andy Elford tonight. Right here on Facebook Live as well as on the platforms. Remember, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe on this show. We'll be back on the air next week for another edition of All Andy Elford. We'll recap week 4 of college football and week 3 in the National Football League, as well as dive more into the saga that is the Columbus Blue Jackets and dive more into the final week of Major League Baseball. So Until I talk to you guys next week, have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you guys next week. And as always, I want to also send a special congratulations to my good friends, John Hare and Megan Hare, on the new edition that's coming their way. Love you guys. Congratulations. And until I talk to you guys next week, this is Andy Alford saying, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together. The game of life. Keep your stick on the ice. And remember, more birdies, less bogeys. And to the teams you root for at home, and to my teams, go Jackets. Let's get it done. Go Walleye. Go Falcons. Go Irish. And go Reds. Go Tigers. And go Guards. Go Hens. And yeah, that's about it. That's about it. So remember, victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you guys next week for another edition of All Andy Alford. I leave you now with the pep band of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with the choir. From the movie Rudy.
Send the body chain.
This has been a special edition of All Andy Alford, celebrating the 15th season of All Andy Alford on the All Andy Alford Network with the Spotify Podcast Network. Whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Bleaker, however you listen to our show tonight, wherever and whenever you listened, thank you so much for tuning into the show. You can always be a part of it by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as Facebook.com/AllAndyAlford. Podcasts are posted each week right here using the Spotify Podcast Network.